Let's get our Bibles open up. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to endeavor to take on a big chunk text this morning. Really, we're going to ultimately look at all of chapter 3. You know, I think kind of taking it as a bigger picture, this portion of text that Paul gives us. And so what we'll do is read verses 1 through 10 this morning. And you're not quite powerful enough, Glenda, but I think I can read it. 1 through 10, and then I think what I'd like to do is close with verses 11 through the end of the chapter, which is actually a prayer Paul offers up to the believers there in Ephesus as well as us. And I think it's just reading that prayer will be an awesome way to close us out. But if you would, verses chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 this morning. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation, made known to me the mystery, as I have already briefly written overhead, by which you, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles. The prophets and the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, in which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than those least of all, the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and have made all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now that manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers of the heavenly places, according to the external purposes which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access from the confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart as my tribulation for you, which is your glory. May the Lord add to the blessing of reading his word this morning. Let's bow our hearts for a word. Father God, I just ask now that, Lord, you will just fill me with your spirit, fill me with your words, that those words will go out and touch hearts that and ways that you only know, and the things that need to be heard this morning. We just ask these things in the power and the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, I always like mysteries, mystery books and even movies and that type of thing. But I always was, especially in books, you know, I don't know if any of y'all were like this, but if you were reading a mystery, did you want to always kind of go to the end and see what, after you got the content set of what the mystery is about, you wanted to look ahead. You was tempted always to look ahead, see what that mystery was at. Paul here is talking about a mystery, right? And certainly he've already kind of introduced us to that mystery, mentioned it prior to chapter 3, but he spends a lot of time talking about this mystery that God has revealed to him, right? Made known to him. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles indeed have heard this dispensation of the grace of God was given to me for you, that by revelation, in other words, he's talking about that God has given me to proclaim something, that you, God has given revelation or given him understanding. And it says, he made known to me the mystery, as I've already briefly written, he said, and as he also shared various places. I don't know if you catch it or not, but I think Paul, anytime he puts something in here, it's driven by the Holy Spirit, and Paul, I believe, is excited about this, right? And I guess we don't grasp that so much, because we are the Gentiles and we are not in the day and time that Paul was. Paul was a Jew, and Paul was a, quote, good Jew, right? He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, as he tells us and Scripture tells us. And that, you know, to be a Jewish man and to be given by God the grace and the proclamation to go to these Gentiles, to go to a group of people that, to him, they were godless in many ways, or if they knew anything about God, was a false god, right? They were worshiping false idols and so forth, and the opportunity to understand that God has now, through what Jesus Christ has done, not only has he done it for his chosen people, the Jews, he is the Messiah, the Jewish people. He is the one to come to save them and proclaim a victory to the Jewish people. And now he's offering this to these lowly Gentiles. And Paul, your assignment is to go to these Gentiles and proclaim this good news. And Paul, I just truly believe by Paul spent so much time, and especially to Ephesus church, to proclaim that this is, God gave me a revelation, right? God has given me this to proclaim to you this the gospel. And guys, do you understand what a blessing not only to me but also to you? And so I think we need to grasp why Paul spends quite a bit of time here talking about this mystery. It says, verse 8, to me, who am at least the least of all these saints, the grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus, and make it all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Paul understood the power of God's word, right? I think we need to understand, as believers in Christ, those who have received the good news, those who have received and been transformed by Jesus Christ in our life, the wonderful thing that God has given us is the opportunity to share that good news. Paul is overwhelmed, excited to share it to the people that knew nothing about Jesus Christ, knew nothing about the true living God, and he's there wanting to share that, and he's bubbling over with it. Why aren't we? We live in a time and day that we either people are so confused about God, if they even believe there is a God. We believe we're in a world that many people deny there is a God, right? We just existed. We happened over billions and millions of years, and you know, there is no God. There's nothing after this life. And we've got the good news. We got the truth, right? We have the understanding that there is something after death. There is a God in heaven, a God that loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. And so we, in essence, also should have drive that Paul has here, that he's sharing here, that, you know, this is God give me this, right? God give me this revelation and understanding. And so he's excited about it. I truly believe that. Paul speaks of this mystery. He says, verse 6, the mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and members of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. That's the mystery, right? That God did not just come for the Jewish people, right? He did not just going to save the Jewish people, but he came also for the Gentiles. And this is what I want us to understand about this mystery. A mystery is not some kind of mystical, magical thing that Paul is talking about. He's talking about this is a secret that God has given that needed to be proclaimed and revealed in due time, right? But this is where I want us to understand. The understand that this mystery, this revelation, was not something God was doing a new thing. We live in a day and time that people are proclaiming God is doing a new thing, right? We see the results of that. That, well, God's accepting the big thing is the gay rights LGBTQ thing into the church. Now God is doing a new thing. Okay, the problem with that, right, that God has somehow changed his mind from what he's already proclaimed, what he's already said. This is not what Paul is proclaiming here. Paul is not proclaiming the fact that, well, God, you know, chose us Jewish people and then he changed his mind. You know, I think I'll just have some of these Gentiles come along. This is part of God's plan, and I hope to show you here the fact that this was not something, and Paul, in essence, proclaims it himself. It was not a new teaching from God. Really, it's something that's been in God's Word all the time, but what Paul is trying to get us to understand that this revelation was something that God now has revealed through the Holy Spirit to him that has already been there, right? And the fact that God proclaimed and spoke to him and said, you're now to be the representative, go out into the Gentile world. But Paul points out here, says, in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. In other words, that revelation was not understood, right? The revelation that God was going to bring about the Gentile people in past time. It has been now revealed by the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit has given him understanding that the Gentiles were going to be part of God's kingdom. And the holy and his holy apostles. And so understand, he wasn't a lone wolf and in the group. In other words, God not only revealed it to Paul, but he also revealed it to Peter. If you read Acts chapter 10, verse 9 through 16 is kind of a compact portion of how God revealed it to Peter. It says, the next day, and they went to the journey and drew near the city. Peter went up the housetop to pray about sixth hour, and he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while he was made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open up, an object like a great sheet bound four corners descended to him and let down to earth. And it were all kinds of four-footed animals of earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat, right? And we know that on goes on, and the voice spoke to him again. And second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up to heaven. And again, Peter then goes and to a Gentile's house and is revealed his understanding, if you would, that God is also calling the Gentiles to the gospel. And so Paul and Peter both were apostles, and that's what Paul points out, and was given the same revelation. So it kind of goes along with what Peter writes later in 2 Peter. It says, knowing that first that there are no prophecy or scripture of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So Paul points to the fact that, first of all, the revelation came from God through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. Now, he doesn't say it came to the preacher or the priest over here and God spoke to him and God says this to him, right? He's saying that the Holy Spirit, and we believe the apostles were given by Jesus Christ to be that messenger, to share the good news of the gospel and give us understanding of that gospel, right? But again, the gospel is really not a new thing either, right? Other than we fact we have the understanding that the Messiah came and this was Jesus Christ, and even prophecy tells us that he came would come as a baby, right? And all these things were already foretold, right? And that he would die for our sins. That was even foretold, right? It was not understood. It was a mystery. People didn't see that in God's word, even the prophets who proclaimed it. And that's what Paul goes on to say. He said, but God not only backed it up with the apostles, as Paul and Peter and possibly the other apostles, and ultimately they came to the same understanding that God was doing this, right? But then he points to verse 5 and 6. He says, and the prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. And so the Old Testament, right, testifies to the fact that this was God's plan, right? Even for the very first, if you would, prophecy, was Genesis 22 to Abraham, or Abram at the time. It says in verse 18 of chapter 22, it says, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And again, that's, you say, that that's kind of obscure. Are you reading something into that? But how's all the nations going to be blessed by what God is doing through Abraham, right? And not all, even what Abraham lived in his life did not bless all people, right? In fact, he really lived a tough life and really brought about his own son. You know, that was it, right? It was not a lot of influence about Abraham himself. But Isaiah, we know as one of the great prophets of God, he says, verse chapter 9, verse 2, the people who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land, the shadow of death upon them, the light is has shined. Again, well, that's being obscure, that the people who walked in darkness have been great light. Well, that must be meaning the Jews. Well, you can kick to this, but look at Hosea, another prophet. Chapter 2, verse 23, then I will sow her from myself the earth, and I will have mercy on her whom I have obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. And again, I think that says it all, right? God had intended this to come about in his timing, in his way. And for that Daniel, for example, 7:14, then he... to him he had given the dominion and glory and kingdom that all peoples, nations, and language should serve him. Okay? So again, we know that even God's word, even this was a new revelation to Paul and to the Jewish people who knew Jesus Christ and who was proclaiming the gospel, that even the Gentiles would receive Jesus Christ. It was not a new thing in the sense of what God's plan was. And again, so I think we have all kinds of people, well, God's doing a new thing, and we have churches that are proclaiming that very thing. There is no new thing in the sense of what God has proclaimed, God has proclaimed, right? And what, there is no new revelation in the sense of God has changed his mind from what he's been doing, and now he's doing a different thing, right? What revelation comes about is when we read God's word and boom, there is enlightenment, an understanding that we never had before. That's the revelation. And that's even the revelation Paul understood. After God revealed to him, spoke to him, go to the Gentiles, he even understood it through the prophets, and that was God's plan. And Matthew 10, it says Jesus kind of talked to the disciples about how God gives that kind of revelation and is given to his people. Matthew, again, after he gave a parable, verse 10, chapter 13, he says, and the disciples came to say to him, why do you speak them to them in parables. And he answered and said to them, then because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, as he's speaking of those who are not believers, it has not been given, he said. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and who will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even when he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in a parable, because they seeing, do they not see, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And them in prophecy, and Isaiah is fulfilled, which it says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand in their hearts and turn, so shall they hear. But listen to this. Blessed are you, who your eyes that see and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many people, prophets and righteous men, desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Did you understand? Do we understand what a blessed time that we live in? To have the revelation that God has given us through the Holy Spirit, through the church, through the fact that we become believers in Jesus Christ, and that we are followers of Him, and that by that we then receive the revelation of God. We receive the understanding of God's Word. And as He pointed out, Jesus says, you know, when the prophets were prophesying, they were probably very confused. Why is God giving me these words? Why is He talking about, you know, He will come as a virgin, from a virgin birth, or, you know, all these things, obscure, almost obscure prophecies that just, I'm sure to them, didn't make sense at all, right? Especially the things about the Gentiles, you know. Surely God is not going to call the heathen, you know, He's not talking about that. I don't know what God's talking about, but that's not it. But now we have the understanding that through God's plan up to this day and time, through Jesus Christ, what it's all about, right? We are here as believers in Jesus Christ, and we have the good news. We have the truth. We have a thing that we can proclaim. And we should be like Paul. He was just, you can sense as he went around the various places, and he went into synagogue and proclaimed it to the Jewish people and those who believed in the one true God. And then he went out, right, into the cities and the byways and to proclaim this good news that, you know, God has come to you. God has come that you may have life eternal. And so, again, we have the blessedness of know the revelation. We wonder, again, Paul makes it clear the reason of this mystery. And in verse 8, he goes on, at least of the saints, the grace was given that he should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and so forth. Bottom line, Paul and others has released the manifold wisdom of God to the church, right? He has given this understanding that we have now, or to take that lead that God has revealed to him and to Peter and proclaimed through the prophets, and we are to take that, right? And to use that and to go with that, to be the proclaimers of the good news and for God's power and purposes, and that we are in our day and time here for purpose and a reason. It says, go therefore and make disciples in all the nations. That was what Jesus gave to the apostles and to us as he ascended to heaven, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. Lo, I am with you even to the ends of the age. Matthew 28. That is our assignment. That is our mission. There are many mysteries in some ways still in God's Word of what is ahead, right? you know, what is the seven stars and the seven lampstands in Revelation chapter 1 and 2? What all does that mean, right? But God gives us revelation of those things through sometimes others, and as we read and as we read through God's Word, we start putting this prophecy and this understanding of how what God is talking about, and as we go through God's Word, we start putting together and giving understanding of the mysteries that God has already put in the Bible for us in this day and time. Again, these mysteries are just really, what exactly does that mean, you know? And that should entice us to go dig ourselves into God's Word and seek out that understanding through the Holy Spirit, that revelation will come through God's Word as we read and go through it. And so, again, we have been assigned, right, and given the understanding, and we look into this world that is lost. We look into this world that needs to know the truth of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think we drop the ball too easily. I'm speaking for myself. So easily to say, well, you know, I'm here to get what I can get, but we're here more than for that, right? We're here to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? We are to go to the Gentiles of our day and time, those who do not know what we have and understand. And so, again, a lot of times we get caught up in this world, right? As I think much of Satan's design, we get caught up into the things that we think are important when really they may not be that important. So again, it encourages, or should encourage us all, to be that kind of people that, like Paul, just helped himself to share the good news. And so I want to close with verses 14 through 21. Read along if you'd like. This is a prayer that he's praying to the Ephesus church, but he's praying for us, okay? And listen to these words. Even if you just not read it, just listen to what Paul is praying for us, praying for you. He says, verse 14, for this reason, right? As he gives us how excited about the good news, how excited is that his ability or calling is to go to teach us, to tell us about the good news. He says, for this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that would we grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit and the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ who surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. I have to repeat that. To know, be able to comprehend with the saints, which is the width, the length, and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ. And again, Paul is asking for something that is really probably beyond our comprehension. But he wants us to know as much as we can know and understand the love of Christ that he has for us. It surpasses knowledge, he says. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. From all generations, that you may know, that you may be the ones that will take the mantle and go and proclaim Jesus. This is where you're being prepared today, as we are as well, to go prepare the glory of Jesus Christ to others. Amen. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you for this word that you've given through Paul, the fact that you loved us and that you wanted the good news to come to us Gentiles, and that Paul was so excited to see the death and the breath of your love to be spread among all peoples of all the world, that they all may know the truth, that they all may be one day united in heaven in the true church in heaven in the kingdom of God, that we all will be there together in a family reunion of all family reunions forever and ever. So Lord, as we look forward to that, Lord, we pray that we will be about your business, that it may glorify you here on this earth, and to do our part that you call us to do. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.